presence of the Lord is in this place.
Yes.
And I don't want to be like those in the Bible and we knew it not.
Yeah, you're right, brother. Amen.
Take your Bible, go to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Look in verse number 1. Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. We read this passage, and because we know the outcome, verse 2 doesn't seem all that intense to us because we know the outcome. But can I tell you that when God told Abraham in verse number 2 to take his only son that he loved and offer him for a burnt offering, that's all Abraham knew that was going to happen.
You're right. Amen.
If the Lord would help me tonight, I want to preach to you on this thought. When God asks a hard thing. When God asks a hard thing. Father, I need your help tonight.
Lord, help us.
And Lord, we need your help tonight. And God, I pray, Father, that you would please speak to hearts. Lord, there's many in this room facing hard things.
Yes.
There's many in this room that have faced hard things. And Lord, I believe it'd be a safe thing to say every single one of us in this room will face hard things.
Right. Amen.
Yet again. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that you would do the impossible, do what we cannot do. And Lord, would you speak to hearts tonight? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but my flesh, given a chance, is always going to look for the easy way out.
Yeah.
Brother Earl Hughes told us young preachers 30 years ago, more than that, he said, always volunteer for the hardest job. Nobody does that nowadays. We are all looking for the new and improved, the easier, the lighter, all that kind of stuff. But he said, always volunteer for the hardest job. And our flesh is always going to take the path of least resistance. Our flesh is always going to look for the easy way out. But what about those hard things? The hard things that we could say, in my wildest dreams, I'd have never dreamed it would have been that difficult, or that hard, or that painful, or that trying, or I never would have believed that that valley would have been that low, or that storm would have been intense, whatever adjectives, whatever words of description that you could think of to put on it. I don't know anybody that that goes looking for a storm. I'm not talking about, you know, these nuts you see on TV, storm chasers. Amen. I'm talking about the emotional, physical, spiritual storms of life. We don't go looking for them. But they do somehow manage to find us.
Yes.
You say, why do you think that is, Brother Craig? One little word, it's a four-letter word called life. Life. And we do not like it when life throws us a curveball. I say this all the time. We got our people here. They're probably sick of hearing me say it, but I'll say it again. I don't like bumps in the road. I don't like ripples. I don't like waves. I don't like change. I don't like surprises. I don't like any of that stuff. But I have learned this. I'm not as old as some are in this room, but I am old enough to figure this out, that the older I get, the less it is like that.
You're right.
The less smooth it is, the less bumpy it is, the more bumpy it is, the harder it is.
Yes.
And not only, amen, when God asks a hard thing, because we see here in Isaiah, or in Abraham's life with Isaac, God did not ask Abraham to do this.
That's right.
Just like Job tells the devil, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" He didn't ask Job what he thought about that. I mean, I don't know if Job was aware at the time of that conversation that the Lord had with the devil, but I know if I was Job and I would have heard that conversation, I would have said, "Lord, could I say something? Could I put some input in on this deal?" And God did not. I mean, Abraham woke up that morning just like he'd done every other morning of his life, just whatever had planned to do that day, whatever was on his agenda, whatever was on his to-do list, just like every other day up until this point, and out of the blue, I mean out of nowhere, God says, "Hey, Abraham, take that boy that you got, your only boy that you got, the one that you love, and go kill him." Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3 says, "The finding pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts." Mm-hmm. You know what the Lord was doing with Abraham here? He was trying his heart.
Yes, you're right.
You want to know why God offered Job to the devil? Because he knew what was in Job's heart. You want to know why he told Abraham to offer his son? Because he knew what was in Abraham's heart. Mm. What's in your heart tonight?
Yes.
What's in my heart tonight? The Lord never gave us children, but we didn't have to have children to understand this, that there's no more sensitive area for God to deal with a person on than their children. But Abraham, God knew that he had liberty in Abraham's life to deal with his children. Now go back, hold your place there in chapter 22, go back to chapter 17. God is speaking to Abraham in chapter 17, and in verse number 19 it says, "And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." Do you understand who God was telling Abraham to sacrifice? He was telling Abraham to sacrifice the one that he promised to give him. He was telling Abraham to sacrifice the child that was going to be born out of impossible circumstances.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not trying to be cliche about it, but Isaac was the miracle child. Mm-hmm. And now God says, Abraham, I want you to take this miracle child, this one that you thought you'd never have, this one that I promised you that you have, the one that your wife laughed at when I said you would have, and I want you to go sacrifice him. Do you know, I say this often because of this day and age in which we live, God is not worried about hurting our feelings or offending us.
No.
Look what he says there. He didn't say, take now thy son Isaac and get thee to the land of Moriah. He added a couple little zingers in there, if you will. He said, take thy son. You know Isaac, your only one. You know, the one that you love. The world or unspiritual people would look at that and say, well, that was mean of God to say it that way. No, that was not mean of God to say it that way. God is right. He makes no mistakes. He did not word that improperly. He did not. He was not worried about being politically correct. He was not worried about softening the blow.
No.
He just flat out told him, take the one that your boy, the only one that you got, the one that I promised you that you would have, the one that you love. I would like to say that my reaction would be like Abraham's reaction here, but I would also think that probably, I don't know if Abraham, God did not give us any insight into Abraham's inner thinking, but I wonder if there was part of Abraham that was saying, Lord, this ain't how this is supposed to work out. This ain't how, Lord, this ain't how it's supposed to play out. This is not how it's supposed to be. And may I say to you tonight that our reaction to the hard things in this life is a choice. A lot of the times, what's harder than the storm that we're going through is our reaction to the storm that we're going through. If it was just the storm, we'd probably be okay. But we blew it on our reaction to the storm. I'm 100% guilty.
Yes, me too.
So what did Abraham choose to do? Well, look at verse number 1. It says, and God said unto Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. The first thing, this has gone with what has been said already. The first thing is that when God speaks, you answer his voice.
Yes.
Yeah.
You answer his voice. You pay attention, you listen. I thank God for caller ID. Because it tells me sometimes people that I don't want to answer the phone for. And amen. And but can I be honest with you? It doesn't matter whose name is on that caller ID. If you're not expecting a call, you have no idea what the subject is going to be. I got a phone call from an individual last night while we was out fellowshipping. And I did not answer it because we were fellowshipping. And then I sent the individual a text. I said, I'm at church fellowshipping. Just got out of service. I said, I'll call you in a few minutes. They didn't respond to that text, but about 5 minutes after I sent that text, they called me back. So I excused myself from out there, and I obviously had to take the call. Now, this individual has called me several times in the last 4 months, and it's been some very serious things. One time involved the death of a relative. And different things, and so I would be honest with you, I was nervous at the phone call. Sure. Now praise God, last night he called to tell me that he had just led his daughter to the Lord.
Amen.
Put the kids to bed. 10-year-old daughter comes downstairs. Dad, I mean, broken, crying. Said, "Dad, I need to get saved."
Amen.
So praise God. But I said all that to say this. You don't know what is on the other end of that phone call. Mm. And can I say that when God calls our name, we don't always know what's on the other side, what he's going to talk to us about.
Yes, you're right.
And so what we do is we answer. And Brother Amos mentioned this. You know, the Lord came and stood as at other times. Samuel. Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." That needs to be our reaction when God speaks to us, as we hear that still small voice of God. And brother, I appreciate what you said. God is under no obligation to raise his voice just because we got other noise going on in our life.
Amen. That's right.
Well, Lord, if you'd have just spoke up, if you'd have just got louder, and he's, that's not how he works. Amen. It's our responsibility to get rid of all that stuff, to get rid of all that noise. The Word of God says to be not ignorant of the devil's devices. I think that was God knew. Amen. God knew why he used that word devices. In our modern, as I preach from mine tonight. But we need to listen to his voice. Then what do we do? Verse number 3. So God tells, I keep wanting to say Moses. God tells Abraham to take your son, the only son, the one you love, offer him for burnt sacrifice. What is Abraham's reaction? Verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. You know what you do when God puts you through a hard thing, or God asks a hard thing, or God requires a hard thing? You obey.
Yes.
You obey.
Amen.
What do we teach the kids? Obedience is the very best way.
Yes.
To what? Show that you believe.
You believe. Amen.
Amen. Listen, can I... God is not for situational ethics. You say, "What are you saying, Brother Kirk?" What I'm saying is this. Present circumstances do not dictate whether we obey God or not. Outside factors, outside forces have no bearing on whether I choose to obey God or not. I don't do it if it's convenient. I don't do it if it's easy. I obey God because it's right to do, and that is what God requires, is obedience. David said in Psalm 119, verse 60, "I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments."
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Bob Jones Sr. said, "Do right if the stars fall, but do right." Deuteronomy 13:9, "You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him." 1 John chapter 5 says that God's commandments are not grievous. They're not hard to be borne. They're not weighty. They're not oppressive. Amen. There's nothing that God... Listen, if God tells us to do it, he does that knowing what our frame is. He does that knowing what our frailties are. And he still requires us to be obedient. Mm. Abraham did not say, "But God, I thought that this was supposed to be that child that was going to be the promised one, that was going to be a father of many nations." What happens is when we go through hard things, we try to rationalize God. We try to analyze him. We try to pick him apart. We try to, we want God to get the laser pointer out and the screen and the PowerPoint presentation and the graphs and the charts and all that. God ain't into all that. He ain't doing all that. Amen? Jeremiah talks about to be obedient in all the ways that he commands us.
Yes.
Acts Acts chapter 5, verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Now, I will say this, I believe with all my heart, I don't see any record here of Abraham arguing with God. And the reason why that is important is because in Exodus chapter 4, when God called Moses, God gives us the account of Moses saying, I can't. I can't talk. I can't speak. When God called Jeremiah in chapter 1, God tells us that Jeremiah said, I can't. I believe God's an honest God, and if that was the case with Abraham, I believe God would have recorded it here. But there is no recording of that. And so verse 3, they head out. And now, take your son, your only son, whom you love, offer him for a sacrifice. So they head out, right? Look what it says in verse 4. Then on the third day. Do you understand what that is? They woke up, they got ready, they left. Abraham knows what's happened. Abraham knows what God has called him to do. The young men that were with him, I don't know if they knew. Isaac didn't know. And so God let Abraham go 3 days carrying that burden. That knowledge of what he was going to have to do when the end. God did not, he didn't do it. He, morning, afternoon, night. I wonder how well he slept that first night. And then he let him wake up. And Abraham's like, well, God's going to show me where I'm going to have to do this. And so he's just traveling. I mean, have you ever stopped to think about what Abraham talked to Isaac about? I mean, what did they talk about? What communication did they have? And God let him go the whole second day. Breakfast, travel, lunch. Travel, stop, dinner, make camp, the second day, second night's sleep, which is really the third night's sleep for Abraham. And then they wake up, probably another restless night, I would imagine, and then the third day, and then at some point, I don't know, it doesn't say, it just says the third day. It could have been another full day of travel. And he looked up and he saw the place afar off. Can I tell you that 3 days is a long time for the devil to get in your head and get you to doubt God, get you to justify disobeying God? The mental gymnastics, the emotional gymnastics. And verse number 4. Verse number 5, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. You know what Abraham was doing there in that third little thought there? He was displaying confidence in God. He's displaying confidence in God.
Amen.
Can I say to you, Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, if your confidence is in anything made of flesh, amen, you're going to be disappointed right off the bat, amen. But thank God our confidence in God does not have to be shaken.
Amen. Right.
When God asks a hard thing, amen, that's what he is doing. He's working on us.
Yes.
He's working on us. He's working in us. And sometimes he's got to work us over. He does me. By faith, Abraham, Hebrews 11:19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. God. Listen, can I tell you tonight, I'm not saying I don't care like I don't care. I'm emphasizing It does not matter what hard thing you have ever been through in your life. God has never one time given any single one of us one ounce of reason for our faith or confidence in Him to be shaken.
You're right. Amen. That's good.
He makes no mistakes. We sang the song right before the preaching that He makes no mistake. Job said, when I'm tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold.
Yes.
Abraham did not know that God would raise Isaac up, amen, but he knew that God could raise him up, amen. His confidence was in God. He may have said, God, I don't know what you're doing here. I don't understand this, but I got confidence in you. Abraham had confidence in God's power. He had confidence in God's ability. He had confidence in God's person.
Yes.
He knew who he was. The problem that we have in a lot of our churches today is God is just some doctrine that people study instead of a person that they have a relationship
with. Yes, amen. That's right. Amen.
Number four, look at verse number six. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Now, it's going to sound repetitive, but stay with me here. You answer his voice, you obey without question, you have confidence in him, and then you maintain your obedience. Right. You say, what do you mean? He didn't just start out. His obedience was not just making the trip.
Yeah. That's right.
His obedience was carrying out verse 6. He didn't turn back. He didn't say, okay, we've been here 3 days and now it's time to get that wood and lay it on Isaac. And he said, all right, I just can't do this. No, he maintained his obedience.
Yes, that's right.
He maintained his obedience. It's sad, but I know a lot of people, some preachers, some not preachers, who started out on the right track, but got off track.
Yeah.
I know too many has-beens in Christianity. I know too many used-to-bes. The devil and even other Christians would say, look, God understands that. He knows He asked you to do a hard thing. He knows your heart. Don't worry about it. That's not... That is not what Abraham relied on.
No.
That ain't what he did. He was determined to see it through. And then, look at verse number 8. Verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is a lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. You know what you do when God puts you through a hard thing? Can I say, number five, you trust God to provide.
Yes.
You trust God to provide. Amen. He rested in the promise of God. Can I tell you, amen, it's up to you and me to obey. It's up to God to put all the circumstances together. And however God wants to see it played out, that's up to Him. Too many of us are worried when we see the storm, we see them waves getting a little high. We say, God, is it going to work out? Well, what if it is and what if it ain't? It might be like Acts chapter 27. We may make it to land, but we may make it to land on a board. We may not make it through the other side, amen, in a ship that's all together.
Right.
But they made it. They came, amen. They came floating in. But we trust God to provide. Listen, can I tell you, we do not serve God based upon circumstances. We don't even serve God based on promises.
Amen.
We just obey God because it's right to do.
Amen.
We just obey God because it's the right thing to do. By faith, by faith, by faith. You read Hebrews chapter 11. I already read the verses, but there's other verses about Abraham in there. And how did Abraham do all of this? By faith.
Yes.
By faith. Can I tell you the faith that saved you? Hey, let me rephrase that. You get saved by faith. Your faith does not end at salvation.
You're right.
You live by faith. We sing the song, Living by Faith.
Yes.
Yeah.
We lie when we sing it. You say, what do you mean we lie? We say, I care not today what tomorrow may be. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
That's right, brother. Amen.
I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. Yes, you are. Amen. We see a cloud the size of a man's hand and we start freaking out. We trust God. That's what we're supposed to do.
Yes.
You just obey God. Trust Him to work out all the details. In a message like this, usually what happens a lot of times is a preacher will list storms that they've been through in their life where they've had to trust God. I'm not going to do that, but can I just tell you tonight, we have had to learn to just trust God. Sometimes it's the only thing to do.
You're right, amen.
What are you going to do to change circumstances? Ain't nothing you can do. Yesterday was a perfect example. You know, we was talking Tuesday night and Wednesday, you know, what the weather was going to be like Thursday in this storm, and you know, be ready, you know, in case we make an announcement, we have to cancel church and all this kind of stuff. And I'm sure the preacher was thinking the same thing I was thinking. You know, we don't want to do that, amen. But what are you going to do to change anything? Dang it. How much do you really control? About the only thing we do control when it comes to storms is how we react to it, because we're not going to stop it.
You're right, amen.
Right.
We wonder, and you know, I've been through things in my life, and I'm thinking, you know, is this real? I mean, do I need to pinch myself? Do I need to wake up? Do I need to, you know, you wish you could turn the clock back just 5 hours, 24 hours, 10 minutes, whatever, but there ain't nothing that you're going to do to change anything. So you just trust God to provide. And maybe the only thing that you're going to have to be able to trust God to provide is a way to get you through it. Can I just say this? It is not up to you and me to figure it out. You will drive yourself crazy trying to figure it out.
Yes, you will.
Say, well, how do you do that? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You ever stop to think about this? Why is it so hard for us sometimes to trust God? I mean, think about this. Did we not trust him for our eternity?
Yes.
How can we trust him for how can we trust him for our eternity but not trust him for the next 6 weeks? Yeah. The next 24 hours? The next day? The next month? We trust him to provide our needs. We trust him to provide wisdom. Amen. Back over there in our text in Genesis chapter 22, verse number 14, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day. In the mount, Lord, it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide.
Yes.
Now, look at verse number 12. Here's the next thing that we do. And he said, lay not thine hand. He's ready. The wood is in order. He's bound Isaac. He's laid him on the altar. And he gets the knife, verse 10, he's ready to slay his son. And then the angel of the Lord appears out of nowhere and he says, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Verse 12, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, with me, from me. You know the next thing you do when God puts you through a hard time? Fear God. You know what we've lost in our society today is a healthy dose of the fear of God.
You're right, amen.
Romans talks about there's no fear of God before their eyes.
Yes.
People do not fear God today.
No.
The world certainly does not fear God. I was out this past Sunday, I was in Maryland preaching, and we was out doing some door knocking before the morning service, and you can do that in Maryland in February, you can't do that in Maine in February. We knocked on this guy's door, we knocked on the door, and all of a sudden we heard this, hello, and the guy was sitting on the porch. We didn't even see him sitting on the porch. And so he says, I think I got something. He said, so don't come close, but how can I help you? And so, I'm thinking, well, you know, what a cordial guy, right? We told him where we were from, changed immediately. We told him we was out inviting people to church, but more than that, we was out telling people about the Lord and Jesus, you know, died for our sins. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He tried to convince us that Jesus didn't die for our sins. He tried to convince us that Jesus was just a Jew and the Bible was just a book that was written by man and it wasn't written by God. And either the preacher or myself would respond with a verse of Scripture, quoting Scripture. And then it went from that to, man, he gave us just a good old-fashioned cussing, Brother Hedgepath. And I just felt a little bit of boldness. I said, that conversation went south quickly, didn't it? He said, yes, it did. And so we just politely just left, and he just wanted to keep arguing. We were just quoting Scripture to the next door, just out. They don't fear God.
No.
I mean, when we said Jesus died for our sins, and he said, no, he didn't, I mean, I cringed. People have no respect for God today. There used to be a day that lost people had enough respect for God. They might not have believed in God. They obviously weren't saved, but they had a respect for God.
Yes.
Society in general did. Now they don't. And now we got people in the church that don't have a fear of God.
Right, amen.
I know preachers that teach that you should not have you don't have to fear God in the aspect. Listen, I'm not fearing him for my eternity.
Yeah.
But I am fearing in the aspect of he's God. I'm nobody. He commands me to obey him. I will face him in the judgment one day. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Listen, I would love to tell you that there are times that I obey God because I just love him so much. And that is true. But there are times that I obey God because I'm scared to death how he might chasten me if I don't. And then what do? Look down there in verse number 12. He said, for I know that thou fearest God, and seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. You know what you do when God asks a hard thing? You just give God everything.
Amen.
Just give him everything. You know what you do when God asks a hard thing? Complete and total surrender.
Yep.
Let me ask you a question tonight. Is there anything that you would be holding back from God? Is there anything in your life where you've said, God, you can have this, you can have this, you can have this, but you can't have that? I mean, if God were to walk in your house and just start looking around, you got that one room, that one closet, that one spot where you, don't go over there. And he's walking around in the heart of the house of your heart. And you're like, and every move you make, every move he makes, you're making this move, trying to dodge him. Not that, Lord, not that.
It's good.
I wish I could say that I could preach this point to this message because I've mastered that. But I would be absolutely lying to you. We really should change the song that's in our hymn book to I Surrender Some.
Yeah, you're right.
Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? He is worthy of us surrendering all. What are we afraid of? I mean, he's our Father.
Yeah.
I mean, who takes better care of his children than God the Father? What do we think is going to happen if we give him everything? Can I just say this in closing? If you forget everything that I said, just remember this, because this is the message. God did not want Isaac. He wanted Abraham.
Yes. That's right. Amen.
God does not want what you have. He wants you.
Amen. That's
he
good.
Wants you.
That's good.
He don't want your stuff. He wants you. And in verses 15 to 18, we see Abram had unquestioned obedience to God, total trust and confidence in God. The angel of the Lord called Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice." I'm going to make a statement that's going to sound contradictory, but I'm thinking the way the world would think. Abraham was just dumb enough to sell out to God. He was just crazy enough to just trust God.
Yeah.
This world, it makes no sense to the world why a child of God would totally surrender their life to God. I remember when I was probably 16 years old. I remember walking an aisle and presenting myself on the altar, and I said, "Lord, whatever you want to do in my life, you do it." And it's just like been, and my life has been like everybody else's life. Ups, downs,
yeah.
Mountains, valleys, victories, defeats. Times of faith, times of doubt. He told Isaiah in chapter 1, verse 19, "If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." Mm-hmm. Our problem is we're not willing.
Yeah.
We want to be willing. We want to be willing.
Yeah.
Are we willing to be made willing? So when God asks a hard thing, are you willing? Can I tell you, I am, depending on the day of the week. Depending on whether I'm spiritual that day.
There we are.
Depends on if my heart's right with God. Depends on if I'm in that book. People go through hard things. Families go through hard things. Churches go through hard things. And, now think about this, it may be a hard thing that God allowed, or it could be strife that the devil stirred up. It could be anything. But our reaction should be the same. We answer his voice. We obey him. We get confidence in him. We trust him. We fear him. We give God everything, just total surrender. And can I say this? You do the same thing when God asks an easy thing. Doesn't change.
It's true.
Our reactions don't change. Young men that God calls to preach, they think about calling to preach. They picture themselves behind a pulpit, preaching to hundreds of people. They don't think of the 2 a.m. phone call. They don't think of the church split. They don't think of the schedule that gets wiped out. All that's God's business. All that's God's business. There was a preacher that was watching the service Tuesday night, sent me a text and said, would you be willing to come and preach for me? And my flesh wanted to answer, sure, brother, let's do it. When do you want me to come? But I replied by simply saying, I'd love to, it'd be an honor. You pray about it and you get a hold of me. I'll never bug you about it. See, we're very good at creating our own miracle. I know a lot of evangelists, they need to quit thanking God for their meetings and start thanking Verizon. I'm just being honest with you. They're 99% telemarketer and 1% preacher. We got a lot of advice when we went in evangelism. I would ask this preacher, do you call for meetings? Oh yeah, you gotta ask for meeting. You gotta call. Do you call for meetings? I've never called for a meeting. Never have called, never will call. Okay, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? So we prayed about it. And I just never have made a phone call. God's in charge of all. You trust God. I'm just using that as a kind of a stupid little illustration to try to get my point, but you trust God in everything. Let Him take care of all that. Let Him take care of all that. Hey, Abraham, take that boy. You know, the one I promised you? The one that was impossible, the one that you thought was never going to happen? You know, the one that you love? Yes, Lord, I know which one you're talking about. It's the only one I got. That's the one I love. What do you want me to do, Lord? Go kill him. I mean, you could flower it. You could flower, offer him as a sacrifice, but let's just lay it down. What did he say? That's what he said. Okay, boys, saddle up. We're going. God will provide.
Yeah.
God will provide.
That's right.
And He did. And He did. People say, well, you know, I wish the Lord would just tell me everything that's going to happen in my life.
No, you don't.
The FBI, CIA would never find you. You'd be hiding in a cave somewhere, never to be found. That's why God does not tell us everything we're going to face. I had a tooth pulled a couple of days ago. They said, do you have any allergies? I said, yes, pain. I'm allergic to pain. I don't care what the cost is. I want extra Novocaine. I don't want to feel my face for a week. I don't care. I just don't want any pain. But we tell the Lord that sometimes. Lord, I don't want any pain. I don't want any surprises. I don't want any glitches. The Lord said, okay. Yeah, we'll see how that works out. But can I just tell you this? What God asked Abraham to do, that was not something God did to Abraham. It was something God did for Abraham.
Right. Amen.
God does not do things to us. He does things for us.
That's right.
I'm not talking about chastisement and all that, but even in chastisement, he does it for us.
It is.
Amen. Not to us. If Abraham could trust God with his only son that he loved, that was promised, we can trust God for anything as well.
You're right, amen.
We can trust God for anything as well. Can I just be honest with you? Here's how much of a wimp I am. I don't even like preaching a message like this. Because I'm not thinking about you. I'm thinking about me.
What's God going to ask me
today? Where's the mirror? You know, where's the mirror?
Yes.
We got a good God.
You're right, we do.
God's not doing anything to hurt us. Everything he does is to help us. Amen. It's me, O Lord.
Yes.
Stand in the need of prayer.
Amen. That's
Father, I thank you so much for the privilege, Lord, to preach the word of God tonight. I pray that it was a help and encouragement. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.